Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Yes, good morning, everybody. It's nice to see you, and I mean that. This is a day which the Lord hath made. This is Jesus' day, and we come to honor him. And I hope we can this morning with the subject at hand, that the need of overflowing faith. We've been in the area of the local church and living by faith and not by sight. And I want to continue that this morning. But before we do, let's have some announcements. Not next Sunday, but the following Sunday. Yeah, that's the 4th of July. That's not far off. We're planning on a street service near Wegmans Market there in Williamsport. We have a place along one of the streets. Maybe it's on Church Street. We set up a canopy, and we have a riser, and we preach, and we sing, and we read. And I'm hoping that that riser will be kept busy the whole time. We need singers. We need some readers. Read the what? We're going to have selected portions of scriptures that when the men aren't preaching, that there'll be the reading of the Word of God, and then we have tracking. That is a passing out of literature all the time while this is being done. We do it for what purpose? That Jesus Christ, the Savior, that they might come to know that they need him. It's not for the church, it's for Christ. However, we do make it known that if somebody comes to know Jesus Christ, that we'll be here to help them. I am not of the opinion that you let little children go the way they want to go. They need to be nourished and loved. And so we do let it be known that the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church is behind the preaching and the singing and the track passing there on July the 4th. Well, I think we ought to start our worship service, and I do want to lead you along the line of the matter of faith, and faith that is beautiful and active. Church. I read somewhere, the church name was Living Faith Baptist Church, and I thought, that's pretty good. If they have living faith, that's a church I want to go to. And I like Sovereign Grace, but this business of faith is so important. However, don't you think we ought to have some singing about faith? How about this first one, a 199, Welcome, Happy Morning.
Our Father. explain something a little further. That's a resurrection song, and it's live concerning Christ's resurrection. And we observe the resurrection of Christ
every Sunday. And so I want you to know that we're singing about Christ's resurrection, which it's through Christ, his gift, that we have living faith. Okay, on the third and fourth. I purposely choose hymns that you have to apply yourself. We don't believe in leaving our brains outside of that door. And so some of them are a bit unfamiliar. Familiar hymns are also sung here in abundance. But for instance, this next hymn, 549, you know it, Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Hearts. Let's sing 549 with the subject in mind of overflowing faith.
We taste the old, thou living bread.
if you would like to have a definition of faith, you'll need to turn to Hebrews 11, and then I'm asking Brother Dan if he'll read the first seven verses of Hebrews 11. Let us stand in regard and respect for the.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith.
Amen, and please remain standing. Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. It is in the Bible that we have promises. And we believe the Word of God. And it has relevance to faith in believing the Word of God. And this next hymn, Holy Bible Book Divine 674, is a great hymn. And ought to help us to understand what faith is. 674. God, let's sing 454 about our faith. Our faith looks up to thee, 454.
Amen.
Let's turn to one of the great chapters in the Word of God. It's Hebrews chapter 11, and most everybody here knows about Hebrews 11. I hope you don't think that you already know all about it. It refers to and shows us about the saints in the past and how they trusted the Lord even through thick and thin. We've sang this morning about the hymns of life's maze, and some of those hymns that we sang talked about sorrows and going through a wilderness. Yes, and there's greatness to the joy of the Lord is my strength. As Brother Dan read that, I'm thinking of Cain here a little bit. In verse 4, before I get to the definition of faith, and that we need to have overflowing faith, but here's the case about it. Each one of these start out by faith. We want to know what faith is. Oh, by faith, this is Abel. He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Thou by brother Cain. Well, you know, he killed Abel. Abel lived by faith, but he was killed by his brother, murdered. Now, we sometimes say that this faith business said, well, the problem with Cain was that he didn't have a blood sacrifice. Therefore, God wasn't pleased. I don't know that you can actually say that, because I think what he really did, what he did is he didn't offer a good sacrifice. He didn't offer the first fruits to God. And God says, looks like those are overripe there a little bit. And might be a little fungus on that one there. And so, hey, what's going on here? If you're by faith, if you're going to obey me, you're going to offer the best, not some of that there junky stuff. I do think there is something to that. And I know the blood necessary, the blood, well, I thought shame, blood is no remission of sins, but I want to tell you something. He offered a more excellent sacrifice. Verse 4 says, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice, but Cain did not. It wasn't all that important to him. Religious, yeah, go to church, but it's not all that important. Now, you all know what it is that you have to fill out applications, and they put blocks and circles, and they said, all right, now check out that and check out this and so on. We do that when we see each other. Say, well, there is brother so-and-so. Yes, sir. How do you know he's a brother? Well, he's a Christian. I hear this so often. You just name people so quickly. What is your basis that they're Christians? Well, he'll say to you, hey, I believe in Jesus also. That makes him a Christian. Where are you coming from? Or you have somebody say to you, hey, look it. I've got to tell you something. You're not the only Christian in this family. I also believe in Jesus Christ, and that he came and he died and he was buried and rose again. I also believe that. So don't think that you're the only one that believes. And I throw that at you. Well, we're going to fill in these spaces. Now, check that block there and this block here. Woo! I'm a Christian. I go to church. I've been baptized. And I give some money once in a while. I'm one of God's people. We are. Well, gotta go a little further than that. You say you know the Lord. Do you love him? Well, sure love him. Are your actions showing that you really are a Christ one, a Christian? Well, I just got done telling you I go to church once in a while, give some money, and I believe in Jesus. What's the matter with you? Why are you so particular about things? You're not the only Christian. And they usually speak like that to you too. See, well, I have some scriptures that I have to deal with. My son reminds me from time to time. He said, "Listen, Dad, if it looks like a duck, and it walks like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, you have to conclude it's a duck." You say, "Well, what in the world does that have to do with anything?" All right. If you look like the world, oh, come on, and you walk like the worldling, and you talk like the worldling, you are a worldling. I don't care what you say about Jesus Christ. You're not showing forth Jesus Christ. I thought this was interesting. You know, we've had a prison ministry and still active. One time, Brother Rick and I were at Hunlock Creek, and a lady didn't pass the test. The buzzer kept ringing. And so he couldn't help it and said, "Your undergarment has wires." Okay. So we didn't pay attention to that. So they had to take care of it. Not only do you need identification to get in to see prisoners, but there are other requirements. Listen to this, ladies. If you look like a Christian or a worldling, and you walk like a Christian, and you talk like a Christian or a worldling, get it right, preacher. A worldling's what we're talking about. What are you? You're a worldling. Don't go around saying you're a Christ one or a Christian. For I have, as from Fox News, as of Saturday, the 12th of June, that's yesterday. That tells a story there, but I'm not going to give that to you. But it tells about that you can violate prison dress code guidelines, which it had to do with a woman. It forbids women from wearing low-cut blouses. What are you trying to tell us? Well, some Christians aren't fussy about that. Low-cut blouses. The prison system. Leotards. Man. Sundresses. Wow. Against dress codes to go visit a prisoner if you dress like that. Or, quote, any type of garment that is a see-through. Or clothing that is tight. And sexually suggestive or revealing. No shorts. Now, if the world is smart enough to say, that isn't going to, you're not allowed in here if you're dressed like that. And we as Christians, quote unquote, say, well, it doesn't make any difference. We don't have any rules or regulations. Holy Bible, book divine. Have you forgotten what it says about modesty, not only to you gals, but to us men? Oh, that isn't important. Salvation is an important thing. Obedience is important, my dear friends. Not for salvation. That's the problem here. Hebrews 11. I got to make it clear. It's written to the Jews, Hebrews. Well, you can see that, Hebrews. And they heard about Jesus Christ, some of them. And intellectually said, that makes a lot of sense. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And I can see that, these Jews. Now, how were they brought up? Well, like all of us, we have some culture problems. And they were brought up, they had what, 666 or something like that, laws and regulations they had to do. It was all works, 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 works. Do this, do that, works, 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 works. It was legalistic from the word go. And so it says, they come to this business about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died on the cross, and he said, it is finished. No more of that whole procedure that you got to do this and this and this and this. Now, that doesn't contradict of obedience and obeying the Lord as to how we present ourselves. But it was a matter of working for salvation. You do this, you can go to heaven. That's still around town. But it's Christ. And so they got to the place where we have the 10th chapter that they came to the place and said, well, we see that Christians have their problems, and once you know Christ personally, problems don't go away. I don't see any advantage over what we were taught as kids. And so they, the last words of Hebrews 10, because chapters are put in by man, and it says verse 36, you know, we have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise, and yet a little while, this is from Habakkuk, yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul and faith. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. So what? So what is this? They were thinking of going back. I don't get much out of that church, you know. I'm going to go back to the old ways. He said, I want to tell you something. That's called apostasy. And that is the way to perdition. And he says, No. God says he has my soul shall have no pleasure in people who go back. He said, but oh, don't be like them. But he says, you need this faith. And so what I'm saying to you from this passage, you can have an intellectual faith. Say, oh, I believe that. I got them all checked. I'm a Christian. Whoa, wait a minute. And intellectually? It's more than that. It's a new birth. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is Spirit residing in you. It's a change. It's a new birth. Pardon me? I don't know what you're saying. I mean, I've checked all these places, and I'm this, and I'm this, and this, and this. I am a Christian, too. No. From head to heart, there's inches. And that's how far you can be from finding yourself in hell. If you only believe the head and not the heart. Well, that's kind of scary. There's people that, well, we live in a religious area. I read the obituary. You will too when you get older. And all these guys go to heaven. All these people. I know some of them. Uncle Pete. What about Uncle Pete? He wanted to be with the Lord. He did. Yep. Who said so? Ray Cullen. The preacher, you go hear the preacher, and he'll say, and he was, you know, and he was a Christian and so forth. You bunch of liars. What do you know about Uncle Pete? I know Uncle Pete. What's that going to do? How deceitful it is. I can hardly stand funerals. Lie. Obituaries. Lie. I tell you, being a Christian is more than just that you marked out these different spots and checked them and said, I'm okay. No, you aren't. Just because mom and daddy took you there and you were sprinkled as a baby, that doesn't mean you're automatically a Christian and member of the church. I can almost tell you where people come from without even reading the obituary column, just by their names. I can almost say he's a Lutheran. That's a Catholic. How can you say that? I can tell because I'm from the area. Most all the Germans I know of have a Lutheran background. They think they're safe and their baptism helped them get to heaven, so they've been baptized, they're going to heaven. And so they write the column up that Uncle Pete went to be with the Lord. There you are. Didn't go to church? Really, he didn't. He didn't live it. Yet he could mark all those spots. Now, what is faith? Your person tell us about this. What is faith? Well, the Bible says very simply, it's not really quite theologically, but it's simple. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and or the evidence of things not seen. You know, they used to throw that at me. I didn't graduate at the bottom of class. I say, that doesn't make sense. What does it say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. There you are. Take that and you got the answer. But I find that you have to look at things a little more than that. Faith or trust, the same word, they mean the same. Faith or trusting, faith is a substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. No, I turn on the TV and I have these health and wealth guys going there and said, I want to tell you, if you name it and claim it, now God will give it to you. We want a new home. You want a new car. You just say, God, I claim that. I name that I'll get a car or a new home. There it is. No. And it says all Christians, and especially preachers, are kind of correlated in the realm of finances. You know, they seem to be in that realm. Well, if you're a preacher of the Word of God, you don't believe in being salaried. You believe that people ought to sustain you if they get the Word of God, but to be salaried, that's like the world. You know what? I don't care if it's back in my day, guys that graduated from me, or whether it's this present day, I can tell you that they've been trained in the public schools. They act just like they've been taught. This is the right way. This is the way I was taught. You can just see right through it. How that the Caesar school, the government schools, have brainwashed us and lied to us. And we say, oh, that's the way it has to be. And so that's the way we act. And the Word of God says, it's by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith. What are you trying to say to us? It's not physical sight religion. Oh, I can look like a Christian, have a Christian haircut, and I can dress like a Christian, walk like a Christian, talk like a Christian. That won't cut it. And these Jewish people thought it would. And they said, well, yeah, we can see Christ and what he means and what he has done. We can believe that he's the Messiah. He said, no, that won't cut it. You need to put your trust in Jesus Christ personally, not just intellectually. Let me ask you something. You're not a duck. I know that. But do you look like a rolling? Is your actions just like they taught you in public school, the same way, your thinking, your mentality, your brainwashing? You act just like what the government told you to do, believe? And then now further, I want to ask you something. How do you talk? My Uncle Sam at Sunbury, Pennsylvania, lived up on Kirshner Hill. He had owned a place up on the top of the hill, left-hand side, and you're going south. Lovely spot. And I used to go there when I have a little vacation, or when Mama's sick, they'd send me up to Uncle Sam, Aunt Nettie. I liked to go there because she was Pennsylvania Dutch and she could cook. Uncle Sam, he was a nice guy. Uncle Sam, in World War I, he brought back a brass telescope. Oh, yeah, it was that big. Yeah. And he mounted that on his porch, outdoor porch, screen-in porch. And he had some children down in Sunbury. And we're talking quite a distance. And he set that thing up so that he could look through that telescope and he could tell whether one of the girls, whether home or so forth. And I'd go down there and he said, oh, help yourself, you can look. And I'd read that thing across the river and you go down through Hummel's Wharf. There's a cemetery on the right. I could actually read the names on those tombstones from over there on that hill. And that's not exaggeration. It's a beautiful piece, a beautiful instrument. So what's that have to do with anything? The Bible says that this faith business is like a telescope looking way off out in the future. I see, I believe, I trust. Yeah, it's there. I see it. Where do you see all these things? I see it in the Word of God. You believe this is so? Yes. Well, a lot of people don't believe it is so. Yeah, I know that. It's a revealed thing. In fact, I was taught higher criticism in college, and that was making light of that. So this is the Word of God. But when God works in our hearts and He gives us, it's a gift. You know, you talk about a gift. Let me just share this with you, Colossians 2. You say, oh, I know Colossians 2. I can quote it. That's fine. I'm glad. But turn to it a little bit because you need to see something there that ought to encourage you. Did I say Colossians? I mean Ephesians. Ephesians 2. Sorry. Ephesians 2. Now, you say, well, tell me something new. Yeah, I will. I hope. You know, we quote some of these verses, verse 8 and 9. And we say, now listen, it's by grace that you're saved, don't you? It's through faith. It's a faith principle. It's God's unmerited favor. He gives us His faith. And that it's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Before I go any further, do you see the word G-I-F-T in verse 8, almost towards the end? It's a gift. Oh, no. I got to do this. It's a gift of God. Salvation is of God. We believe in divine sovereignty or sovereign grace. Yes, it's a gift of God. Wonderful. No, I know how God does things. Strange how God works in hearts. Had to put me in a hospital to wake me up. How do He wake you up? I talk to people that have been in church all their lives and said, I've always been a Christian. What? I've always been a Christian. You have? When this Bible's wrong. There's a place called regeneration. Well, you might intellectually have believed all these things, but has there been a change in your heart? A gift. And these Jews, they couldn't figure that out. Work, 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 work. So no, it's a gift of God. Oh, now, verse 10 says, okay, I have the gift of God. How are you doing with verse 10? We don't usually quote verse 10. We usually throw 8 and 9 around. But what about verse 10? Verse 10 of Ephesians 2 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, I shouldn't walk like a duck then, or rolling. No, God has saved me, and we are His workmanship, and He's given us the gift of salvation, and we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Oh, how I love Jesus. I can hear you sing it, but how do you walk it? Faith says not only do you believe it, but it's part of your life, and you walk it, and you do good works. Now, come on. You won't get to heaven with your good works. We're not talking about getting to heaven by your good works. It's a matter of faith without works is dead. Dead faith. No, no, you're wrong, preacher. The Bible speaks about dead faith. You trust, but it's only intellectual. You can have faith in a lot of things. Not saving faith, but you can have faith in other things. Well, how do you mean that? Well, I like with my open heart surgery. It was bang, bang. Okay. I didn't know what was going to happen. I knew they were going to go in here and take this thing out and put it on there and coat it under ice and so forth. And they're going to cut around a little bit. So I didn't know anything about it. It was just one of those sudden things because of the blockage. So, okay. And I go in there and put me on the table, give me all ready. And, hey, you know all this trick. And they give me a shot and put me away. And they do something in that operating room. Michelle Moser tells us how they operated. She's worked in the operating room, how they carry on in there. And so, but as they carry on, whatever, and I'm operated on. Did I know the doctor? No. In fact, the doctor told me, I didn't want to know you personally. I have a job to do, and I want to do my job. I wouldn't let anything bother me who you were. I thought that's good. I didn't know him either. Praise God for him. But you put yourself under the knife. That's faith. You don't even know the man or those operating on you. Don't talk to me about faith. There is faith that is not, as the Bible puts it, biblical faith. We have American faith. Believe in Americanism. You know, I really am upset about this. I'm an old man, but I get upset. I believe that as I was, my religion was a young man, it was patriotism. And I see it over and over again. I see people, it's patriotism. It's not Christ. Oh, I'm a Christian. But it's patriotism that's the big thing. It's election, it's vote, it's this, though, and anything is patriotic. We know some boys that died in the war. Even one was recently honored. We knew. There were some second thoughts about what happened to him. He was shot in the back. That's not funny to talk about. But why would a soldier be shot in the back? We've often asked that question. Well, anybody can make a mistake. I know that. What a big thing. What a big thing! But to say, I love Jesus and I want to serve Christ. He's my master. I want to do what he wants me to do. I want to obey him. I want to live for him. You say, radical. Radical. Who wants to be a radical Christian? That's what God wants. I didn't say freaks. I didn't say weird. But radical. He is my all in all. I owe all to him. He made me spirit, soul, and body. He made you spirit, soul, and body. What comes first? The spiritual aspect of a person. Oh, no, no, no. You got that wrong, because every time I read in the book, it's body, soul, and spirit. And so our body has priority. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches spirit, soul, and body. What's primary? Spiritual. Salvation. Not body. Not even soul. What's the soul? That's the intellect, the emotion, and will of a person. We're tripartites. Yes, God has made you a spiritual being. And that ought to have priority. And when he works in that spirit of you, and he saves you and gives you new birth, and you're his, and you're on the army of Christ, onward Christian soldiers, you're dedicated to him, you live for him, and you give your all to him, lock, stock, and barrel, if you're going to be a real Christian. None of this, well, I'm on the side of the fence, my one leg's on that side of the barbed wire, and the other side of the other. Some of us old farm boys know what position that is. And get caught up in it. Are you that kind of person? One leg in the world, one leg in the things of God. Mm-mm. You don't have it right. That's uncomfortable. Well, I just worry about us. Americanism is more important than biblical. It's more important to be biblical than to be American. And I do love America. And I do thank God for America. But I want to tell you something. It's not my God. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. I better be right spiritually. Hey? Not whether I'm a Democrat or Republican or a Tea Party or whatever. I better be right spiritually. And you better be right spiritually too. Get that leg off that side of the world and make sure it's on the side of the Lord Jesus. Because faith is what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But I'm looking through a telescope, and I can see things. My telescope says, yes, sir, it's real. Where did you get that? Well, it explains it right here in verse 3. What do you mean explains it? Well, it says, I think verse 3 ought to be verse 2, but I won't argue with the Spirit of God on that, but I'll tell you, but by it the elders obtain a good report. Who are the elders? All these folk that are mentioned in this hero of faith, this great chapter. All right. What about them? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. the world, so that the things which are seen, they were not made of things which do appear. Now that doesn't make sense. What do you mean it doesn't make sense? That God made this whole world without things that weren't even there. They're invisible. They weren't even there. He made out of nothing. He made the world. You don't believe that, do you? That out of nothing he made all this world, the mountains and everything else. You don't believe that, do you? I do. See, I don't know where you're coming from. I thought you went to school. I thought you had some college and seminary. How could you come up with an idea like that? Verse 3. Because God. I believe God. It's strange how it's a gift. And it just causes you to mesh right with it and say, I do believe this is God's word, and I give my life for it, and people do. That's how much it means to me. What do you mean, substance? Well, that word substance, you can have fun with that in the Greek, and I like the King James, but it has the idea of being sure. Something about this substance has the idea of being sure of something we hope for. It has assurance. That's kind of the Greek idea of that. It's like this. Suppose you bought me a piece of land. Where? Out west? Well, I don't think I ever go out there, but I got this title. It's made out to me, piece of land out there somewhere. What is it? It's a title. It's a deed. Well, what about I own a piece of land out there? I don't really. But say I'm using an illustration. There it is. It describes it. I've never seen it. In fact, there's no pictures of it. But it tells me there's a piece of land out there that's mine. It tells me that there is this out there. It's mine. And I say, oh, that can't be true. It is true. And this is true. Holy book, God. Holy book. Divine. You say, I don't understand that. Well, do you have to understand everything? But this is the way God works. I think that verse 3 is a terrific verse. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. God's word, God said, and it came about. Read Genesis if you want to go back and read it. And they were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I'm talking this morning about a religion that is necessarily physical. So, if I'm going to take something like that verse 1, and it says, you can be sure of this. Sure of what? Faith is assurance of things hoped for. Well, what I hope for? I hope for to be with the Lord Jesus and enjoy heaven. And if you don't mind, maybe I can ride one of those clouds too. You know, you're being silly, preacher. No, I'm not. Maybe I can ride around one of those clouds, and maybe I never. I think harps are so nice to play. You're not talking proper. Well, I am not talking proper, but I don't know all about heaven. It's a wonderful place, but I have assurance that I'm going there. You have assurance? Where did you get your assurance? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Where do you get that? There are a lot of people that say, I don't have assurance of my salvation. I tell you one thing, dear friend. I can say this to you kindly and lovingly. If you're having a problem with assurance or whether you're a Christian, here's what I did. And it worked for me. Maybe it worked for you. I heard the gospel and God is speaking to my heart. And I got myself a gospel of John. And on our farm, we had sometimes we put cattle in an area that I had to watch. And so I can watch cattle while I'm reading. And I'd get out my gospel of John and I'd read that. Now, Mooley, you just be careful. I'll have to go chase you around. But I read the Gospel of John. I hadn't read the Bible before. I started one time in Genesis, and I couldn't understand all those begats, and I quit. But the Gospel of John became like fire to me. And it just got me all excited as a teenager. And God used the Gospel of John so that when I landed in the hospital, and the doctor came up to me and he says, son, I hope I can get it in time. Appendectomy or appendicitis. I hope I can get it in time. Well, I didn't know what an appendectomy you had, or I knew it was something about appendicitis. Do you mean I'm going to die? Huh? You can die through appendicitis, in case you didn't know that, if it blows up. And God says to my heart, it's now or never. And I'm lying on that table. I said, dear God, now. I want to know Christ. I want to be saved. As a 17, 18-year-old teenager on his way to Penn State. God changed that too. I know there is such a thing as assurance. If you don't have it, I desire you to read the Word of God. Stay there and ask God, say, God, open this thing up to me. I'm an old hard head. I don't know what's up. I want to have that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. I'm going to read this book, and I'm going to, the Gospel of John is a good place to start. I'm going to read this, God, until I can see this thing, and you work in my life. Pray to Him. Beg Him. You say, oh, I won't beg. Well, that's your Americanism. You're not going to do any begging. But I do want to say this to you, dear friends. This is a sidetrack, but it's important. You may not agree. And one brother said to me, I think he's right. He said, I don't believe any of the economists. Well, I think he's got a good point. I think that's a good point. But just in case, these boys who study economics have a little truth. Say they came across a little truth. And what are they saying? It's saying that you and I may be in for some tough times. Well, the Bible tells us that, you know, it's not easy road. There are problems. You may experience some problems. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. So, now, my God shall supply all you need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Yes, hallelujah. I've used that verse ever since I went to school. Didn't have any money. Didn't have anybody to back me up. What are you bragging about? I'm bragging on Christ. If you're too dumb to see that, you'll have to think it through. I'm bragging on Christ. But he says this, that we need to work. Someone said, this business of welfareism in our country, you know, it was, and one of the founders, and I ought to get that, so just rolling out to you, maybe some of you can research it. One of the founders said that welfare is a good thing as long as it makes you, suffer? That it just isn't that easy. I remember a man, the Social Security office, they took him over the coals. He had to prove it. He went there regularly. Are you really this sick? Well, I think welfareism ought to be, are you really in this need? Are you doing anything about your situation? Are you trying to find a job? I open the Sun Gazette and I see employment is available around here yet. Well, maybe I'm not trained yet. Maybe you ought to try it. It ought to be so that it's a little price to pay just to receive a check from the United States government. It's too easy. Why should I work? Truth of the matter is, I could make more money on welfare than what I make. You're crazy. All right. But this is the kind of thing. This is the kind of thing, friends, say, well, I believe that people who are infirm and have weaknesses and need to be taken care of, let's take care of them. Go out of your way to take care of people that have needs. But some of these people, they're just taking advantage of the system, and it's pulling us right down in the gutter. It ought not to be, just to get votes. Now, if that's wild, talk to my brother Rick. He's trained in political science. I'm not. Where was I? Oh, yes. So, I have a confirmation about something. Something I hope for. I hope for these things to happen upon my death, and I hope that the Lord will bless me while I'm here, and that God will use the ministry and so forth. But what about the second part? It's a parallelism. It's basically saying the same thing over again. Faith is, what is faith? It's substance of our confidence that the things that you hope for, you haven't gotten them, but you see through a telescope, they're out there, and I'm hoping for them. But it also is faith is the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. Oh, wow. This whole book, whole chapter tells about that. Let's go down to 7. Hey, Noah. We're talking about faith is, well, we're, it's the evidence of things not seen, and there's some proof. There's some proof that it's true. Certain of what we don't see. How can you be certain of what you don't see? Noah, tell us. By faith. Noah, being warned of God. What? By faith. Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet. So, he was moved with fear. Wow. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah, I don't understand it. How long it take you? 100-some years? Out there in the desert? Yep. What in the world are you doing? Building an ark, a ship out here in the desert, and you say it's going to rain? We never had rain. What in the world? You're crazy, Noah. And they did. That whole generation, they didn't go along with this passage 11, Hebrews 11. They didn't go along with it. They were a religious bunch. Yes, they were. In the days of Noah, they were a religious bunch. And they filled in all the squares. But they were an ungodly bunch. And I can just see, I probably would have been one of those guys laughing at Noah and saying, that guy is nuts. He really is. I don't mind saying that. He's nuts building a thing like that out in the desert. We never had any rain. What's the matter with that man? Tell me, Noah. He said, now I was warned of God. You were. And of things that are not seen as yet. You mean like the world's going to be a flood? Yeah. This whole generation is going to die. And that just so worried him, and he got so excited about that, he said, if that's going to happen, I've got some kids. I just love that. He prepared a boat or an ark of the to the saving. Tell me, Pappy. Tell me, Daddy. Tell me, Mommy. What's the next word say? He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and what he was doing. And he became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith. Oh, how sweet that is. Strange. Strange. Oh, so strange. But there's evidence means that he's certain about it. God said it. Therefore, I do it. And he did it without all the criticism and people saying, you're nuts. And he said, God told me. And I've got a family. And I want my family to be saved. You're satisfied with your children, your grandchildren being a member of a church somewhere? Let me tell you something that you may not. My background is Lutheranism, and I have no time for that. Apostate bunch. There is a little corner of it in the Concordia group. They do preach the Word of God. But the Methodists, they're the ones I have trouble with now. The Claremont's Seminary, Theology Seminary in California, they just instituted a wonderful thing. What are they going to do? They're going to have in their seminary now a department for the Muslims. Now, come on. And they're going to have a department for the Jews. And they're going to have a department for the Christians. And they're going to teach the Muslims how to be good Muslims, and the Jews how to be good Jews, and the Christians how to be good Christians. But that's not the answer completely. They're going to try to get them all together so that we have nice buddies. United Methodist Church. Women preachers. Same-sex marriage. Say, you're hard. Sorry. The truth's the truth. And we can fall away too. I can tell you there are Baptist churches that I wouldn't want to even attend. Are you the only one that has the truth? No, not at all. There are a lot of things I don't see. But I want to tell you, that which I do see, faith, it's substance of things hoped for, and it's evidence of things not seen. I have some certainty about some matters. Yes, I do. God has given it to me. And there's an existence of things out there. Oh, how wonderful. Not seen. You can't see them. If I can't see it, I won't believe it. Mm-hmm. Will you tell me a Holstein cow, will you, that it eats grass and produces white milk? Now, wait a minute. If it's green, it's green. That milk ought to be green. No, it isn't. It's white. Well, that's science. Okay. We'll take it as science. But you take things like that. They don't appear like the other. That milk ought to be green if those cows eat that green feed. No, it's white. Well, it doesn't appear then like, and it's simply saying not seen. We cannot see it. But it's there's a matter of conviction, though I cannot see it. Now, the first part I said we had a telescope and we could see out there because this Word of God, as I see through it, I see it. But it also is almost saying the same thing. Oh, friends, the Word of God is the key. This is a precious Word. And in all the years, I'm going to confess something to you. I've studied it, but I still feel like there's a lot more. Have you arrived? You don't have to go to a Bible study. You don't have to go to services. I pretty well know where I'm going. I feel sorry for you. Because this book, it's a faith principle, and he says, oh, there's so many things there for us. And it's the Word of God, the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and says, this is it. This is true. You need to do your homework. Are you doing any homework? You know where you're headed for, don't you? I know where I'm headed for. I'm headed for the grave. Unless the Lord Jesus comes, then I'll be taken up without dying. You know, the Bible has some strange things about it. There is a man who lived to be the oldest man ever to live. And he died before his father. You think you're wise. You tell me how the oldest man that ever lived died before his father died. Got it? Methuselah. He died. Oldest man ever lived. He died before his father. Before his father. Now, I'm being Amish, maybe. Who was Methuselah's dad? Anybody know? Enoch was translated. I got you there. You can have that. I just want you to see how precious this book is. It's true. That is true what happened. Methuselah. That's true. And Enoch was translated. He didn't die. Well, friends, I think I'm going to stop it there for the moment. You say you love the Lord Jesus? I'm telling you, there are things you're going to see. And yet you say, I just know it's true. I'm hoping for it. And I don't see it altogether. But you say, I don't care. Even though I don't see it already laid out for me beautifully, I know if I love the Lord Jesus, I'll keep his commandments and I'll live for Jesus. Lock, stock, and barrel. I'm his. I don't belong to myself. I'm not number one. And what's going to flow from my believing? I don't know. I don't know. I just know God called me to preach and I preach to you. I don't know what's going to happen. I see some things happening. But I'm going to continue on until I die, the Lord willing. What are you here for? Are you a Christian? Huh? Or are you just an intellectual American who believes about some things religiously? Do you really look like a Christian? Oh, come on. Do you really walk like a Christian? Do you really talk like a Christian? I lay that all upon us all. Perhaps that hymn that we have here would be a help to us to maybe verify some of the things that were said. And that is, all the way my Savior leads me. It's 505. It is a faith principle. Once again, our Father, we want to acknowledge your goodness to us, giving us the privilege to hear your blessed word. And we pray that your voice may touch our hearts. May we be able to put aside some things that we don't need to know. May the precious word, your precious word, have his way. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for sanctification. And we know that we need to apply ourselves to be obedient, but we know a sanctification is that which that you bring about too. So we pray for sanctification. And we're grateful for faith. And we're asking that we might live by it and not by sight. And now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect or mature in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.